If I stop getting paid for my podcast, then I do have to suck cock in order to do it.
I got my feet in cement. I got my head in the clouds. You might call me demented, but I am too damn proud. I got a hunger for something outside the status quo. So pull up your chair. We are full automatic. We are out and about. We are singing hallelujah with our hearts torn out. No need to beat on what you already know. Your place has been set.
Well, hello there, lovies. This is your Auntie Vera Charles of VeraSpeaks.com. And this is Eat This Hot Show. And I'm hosting today along with my co-hosts, my lovely friends and beautiful ladies, Ms. Wanda Wisdom of WandaWisdom.com. Say hello, Wanda.
Kiss my fat white ass.
Very nice. And of course, also joining me is Madge Weinstein of YeastRadio.com. Say hello, Madge.
Ram it up my cunt.
Oh, yes. Two for two.
And I just want to say I'm feeling so happy and proud to be here today with you two. And
liar.
To be with
she
all.
She must have got a refill on her prescription.
She's fucking lying. It's the only thing that makes her. There's one thing that makes Vera happy, and it's called lying.
Honey, that is my life right now. I am lying constantly because what I want to
be doing. Fake it till you don't make it.
I know. She had the opportunity to thank a Mexican restaurant worker.
Oh, God, you'd think you could scrape up some new material because you do have a modicum of talent.
She's happy because she got to play a hot air balloon in the new
That's the excuse
cartoon
she gives when she doesn't
special
like my
feature
humor.
Of the month. I'm avoiding brand names, of
Listen,
course.
Listen, don't knock it, you bitch. Those hot
I'm
air
the
balloon
voice
spots.
Of the hot air balloon. How would you do a hot air balloon voice for
They
you?
Pay this.
I'm a hot air balloon.
I meant like a huge one, like a Goodyear, you know, like the one you ride on.
I'm a hot air balloon.
You're hired, Vera.
Thank you so much. God. Thank you.
While you two are masturbating your disgusting, bloated egos.
What I noticed today, my darling Wanda, my second
yes,
favorite,
dear.
My second favorite podcaster in the whole world.
I wonder who your first is. Why don't you blow some smoke up her ass?
Cheryl Murkowski.
Yes, I love that dried fig. And her prank phone calls, they just make me laugh so hard.
Anyway, back to me.
Yes, you seem to be a little bit more tense than normal. Are things going not too well for you, or are you just feeling the pressures of the world and society on your shoulders?
I'm a wigwam. I'm a teepee. No, I'm too tense.
Oh.
No, actually, I'm in a very good mood today.
I think
I'm in a playful.
She's gaining some of the weight back.
Oh, fuck it up, you dirty snatch hole, you cunt.
Oh.
I ain't gaining no fucking weight. I look better than I ever have in my whole goddamn 33 years. Actually, I'm in a very good mood today. Thank you very much.
Well, that's You're wonderful. Welcome. Is there anything particular that has put you in that good mood, or is it just because...
I don't know. Maybe not.
Well,
maybe,
share.
Maybe.
She got laid.
Did you get laid?
You got laid. You got laids.
So, laids? No, I actually had a HIV rapid test.
Laids.
And
what is that? Now, just a moment. Madge, shut the fuck up. Wanda, what is that? Because that sounds serious.
No, I went to a sober conference this week, and in between they had therapeutic fisting workshops.
Right,
and,
right.
Seltzer water facials.
Oh. Therapeutic and, fisting?
I'm writing a note to self. That reminded me of
It's
something.
That Japanese Om Shinrikyo sarin spa treatment.
Okay.
No, actually, just a... just a sober conference, and one of the services they provided was free testing for the HIV and the SIF.
Wow! So you got yourself tested,
so what
even though you're not
people...
sexually active.
Well, let's just say that up until that day, I was
Yellow.
Yes.
Yellow.
So yeah. On that day, you know, I
hello.
Did you get lucky at the sober conference?
Now, yes. Shut up. I'm trying to tell my fucking story.
All right.
So on the day that I got my test, you know, they were like, the good news is.
I got the color TV. I got the AIDS.
Because you didn't. Because you haven't had sex in the last 3 months. You know, you don't have to worry about overlapping any windows or whatever. You know what I mean? Because it takes 3 months or whatever. The bad news is you haven't had sex in 3 months. So
six
was,
is
know.
The safe window. I mean, three is most, but six covers everything.
I want you to pounce on that Adam Carmichael.
He's got a boyfriend.
I know, and he's like your sister, and he's got a boyfriend. But pounce on him anyway. Me, Mr. Fidelity.
And I have a tiny ego, and I only fuck pudding pants.
Can I just tell you? Wrong. Wrong, you lesbian whore.
What'd you get?
Wrong.
Tell us about him.
No.
You bitch.
I remain no.
Why?
No.
Why? She ain't going to be listening to this pogrom.
It was very nice.
Everybody's all listening to their sober tapes right now. You think they're going to be listening to this shit?
That's true. No, no. I reserve my Fifth Amendment rights to not incriminate myself. It was a salami.
It was huge.
It was a salami.
It was huge.
It was a liverwurst.
Huge.
Liverwurst in amongst a pile of pudding.
Was it good?
Just a big bowl of pudding with a sausage sticking out the middle of it.
Do it be good?
Oh, it'd be good.
Is it? Was it?
It was good.
You can answer that.
I did. I said it was good.
Okay. I wanted to talk about cum facials. May I?
Please raise your hand, though, so I can call on you.
Click, click, click.
Madge, you have something to say?
I'd like to talk about cum facials. My friend Helena, she said that she jacks, it's a drag queen, so she got a dick. She said she jacks off every night and rubs cum all over her face, and it's a wonderful, wonderful face cream for overnight. And the
old
queen that
cum
was with
stinks.
Her, the queen that was with her agreed, and she sells face cream at Nordstrom's.
They're watching.
So she knows.
They're watching Caligula.
Do they be doing that on Caligula?
They be doing that in Caligula. All the boys into a bowl, and then the women's rub it all over their bodies.
Well,
yeah.
It's like bukkake. But this is true. Does it? Do you ladies do that?
I've never.
Man, you sound like you're on some sort of pharmaceutical.
You know what? I did yoga, and then I rode home in the rain, and I'm sopping wet. So,
I wish we
could
have
rain.
I've
never applied cum.
And I am on pharmaceuticals.
Face.
All we have
Wellbutrin.
Are Santa Ana winds and fires.
You know what? Congratulations.
You're hateful. You are a fucking hateful sow bag.
Well,
you know
what?
That?
I just got rained on, and when it's raining in Chicago, you almost get, and you're on a bike, people want to fucking run you over. And I was talking to Steve Harris.
Maybe we should grow up at some point and buy a car.
Wow.
That would really help the environment.
Oh, fuck the environment. Yeah, like you give a shit about the environment.
I do. I don't even use plastic bags anymore.
I don't think
I
you
guilty.
Need to have a car in Chicago. That's not a fair argument.
Oh, is my logic flawed?
Maybe.
There wouldn't be any place to park.
You have to define your terms.
Vera, there's no place to park a fucking car.
Bless your heart.
You know, anyway, I was at the gym and then I, you know, went to repose with my beverage. And I called Steve Harris because he's helping me with a project I'm working on. And I said, oh, fuck, it's raining. Now I got to go to have this show with these goddamn cunts. He said, yeah, you do. And then it was raining and I got rained on and rained on. I didn't like it much, ladies. I didn't like it much.
What is this like? Some bad lesbian poetry reading.
And I got my lock broke when I pulled the lock
off.
That's
redundant.
You know, one of these $50 locks, and I pulled it off, and it broke. Somebody had been trying to break into my bicycle and shit. Now I got to spend $50 on another goddamn unbreakable lock because it broke. Hi, Trotsky. You know, anytime you want, you two could offer another hot topic. Evidently, you don't have any interest in cum facials.
No, that was not something I've ever willingly participated in.
Do you use face creams, ladies?
I do.
What do you use?
I use this very nice South African product. It's got the shea butters in it, and it protects the skin from, you know, the wear and tear
of daily life.
Mm-hmm.
What is shea butter? I've never heard of shea butter.
Oh, that's it's a emollient.
Oh.
And it protects the skin. It moisturizes the skin. Mm. It comes from the shea berry. I just made that up.
Wow. What about you, Vera?
You know, I...
Do you use face cream?
Since I was very, very, very young, I did every day. And then the older I've gotten, the more lax that I have become. But I do. This is how it works, like anybody gives a shit. If I'm going out, like, for example, today when we're all done with this bullshit, I have work, actual work, which is a nice thing. So I will shower and I'll put on some face cream. But in a normal day, if I'm not going anywhere, no, I won't put it on.
Now, what kind? You're old, so you use the oil of Olay.
I did when I was a kid. I used oil of Olay when I was a kid, almost exclusively forever. But Gooch buys this, what's it, fucking, is it Neutrogena stuff?
How would I know?
I don't know. Yeah. It's Neutrogena's line of creams, and so that's what Gooch buys. And Gooch uses it daily. So I use it if I'm going out. Just to, you know, to soothe the wrinkles a little bit and the dry skin. Because I'm old. I know you're older, blah, blah.
Well, at the
blah.
Time, at the point that you're that old, it really doesn't help. You might as well just, you know, grow old gracefully.
Well, the nice thing is about being fat like Vera is that it smooths out the wrinkles.
That's right.
So you trade off as you get older. You can look, you can have a better body or you can look younger.
Especially fat skin produces a lot of oil, you know, keeps you nice and moisturific.
Why does fat skin produce more oil? I didn't know that.
Because there's a lot of fat underneath the skin, and when you get hot, it gets all melted and comes
oozing out of
your pores.
That is not true. It doesn't just melt and seep out.
You know, for someone as intelligent as you are, Madge, you're the most gullible person I've ever met in my life.
I love
you believe
her.
What people say.
I did not believe it.
But you are sitting there considering that Wanda could possibly be telling you something that's the truth because you're denying it.
I believed it at first, but I didn't believe it when she said it melts in the sun.
That's right. Melts.
Who cares? So they took gullible out of the dictionary. Who gives a shit?
Did they really? God, I don't know. So, what do you ladies think? You know, I'm going on a cruise.
You can kill yourself
now,
and I will help you.
Can we not talk about that, please? I bet they got some really nice restaurant workers on that cruise that'll get you a
fucking cruise. I hope they put her in the engine thing and make her all turn into ground beast.
Boy, ground beast?
I would take you, Madge, if you lived out here, I'd take you with us.
I'd throw her in the goddamn machine room. You know, they must have some giant machine. You know, like in the Poseidon, how they had this big room full of things that turn gears and shit. I'd throw Vera right smack in between two of them gears and watch her get squished.
Watch me pop.
What?
Pop like a grape.
Put her in the beef stew. Then nobody will know.
No, I know. It'll be like the chili con carne night at the buffet, and there's just a big, giant, extra helping of
Vera.
Chili con carne.
Vera.
Chili con Vera.
And Gooch is like, where's my Vera? Where's my Vera?
And she's
left.
Like chomping on the chili. Where's my Vera? Chomp, chomp, chomp.
She got in the helicopter. Actually, they had to use two helicopters, but she'd be gone.
So it's the Halloween season. Do you ladies particularly like or dislike or involve yourself or not involve yourself in the gay national holiday of Halloween?
I hate it. But the unfortunate thing is it sounds like I have to make one and possibly two performances. I'm supposed to be Tammy Faye Baker during a seance coming back to life.
Oh.
Wow, that sounds
like that's
fun.
Gonna trouble you or something.
It sounds great. I was actually going to consult with you on some.
I have a lot of Tammy Faye Baker information because I used to watch them, ready for the pun, religiously.
Yeah, no, I was
because we know
you
you're busy
subject.
Keeping up on the.
Oh, I know. I have news. I'm not in Florida right now. I'm in Chicago. Did you notice?
Well, I wondered because I listened to your most recent podcast and you were talking to a lady in your laundry room who you gave some odd name to. I don't know why you gave a different name when she asked you what your name was.
I didn't remember. Oh, my name? Well,
yeah,
I'm not going to tell her my real name. What if she finds out?
Oh, that's true. So you gave her, but you gave her a man's name, which I found so odd. Couldn't
listen, we don't need to focus on my lack of editing skills, okay? That was not right, and sometimes things happen when you're a senile woman.
Why are you in Chicago and not in Florida?
Because the last night, you know, the day before, I was waiting for my ticket, and I figured, she always does stuff at the last minute. I said, where's my ticket? She says, oh, I didn't tell you. You can't come because I couldn't get a ticket.
Oh, it slipped my mind?
You know, because the tickets were too expensive, basically, and, you know, listen, I don't know. I only know what I'm told, and I only know that I'm in Chicago and it's raining.
Are you disappointed?
I was disappointed, and I was over it until I rode my bike home in the rain. I'm not really that disappointed because, you know, with every trip is a pain in the ass. Every trip is a schlep.
Yeah.
But I was looking forward to the lesbian bathhouse, you know.
Don't they have lesbian bathhouses in Chicago?
I wouldn't be caught dead in them.
You Skyped out completely.
It's that whole,
what did
it's
you
that
say?
Whole theory that you don't shit where you eat.
Right. I wouldn't be
literally.
Caught dead in them, Vera, is what I said.
Oh.
In Chicago.
Okay. You don't shit where you eat, Wanda? Is that what you said?
Exactly.
You shit where somebody else's eats.
Now I want to hear if, Wanda, are you doing anything special or hiding or anything at all during the Halloween season?
In fact, it may surprise you to learn that, yes, indeed, I, Wanda Wisdom, will be hosting a just spectacular Halloween event with other sober drag queens and crazy people.
What is it?
Oh, it's a sober party in a church basement, and we're going to have a gay old time. Very low-key, but, you know, it's my peeps. So,
are you going to wear culottes?
Oh, I thought you were going to say, like, a coonskin cap or something.
Racist.
Thank you. No culottes. I think culottes are out. Maybe a skort.
Skorts are a good thing.
Or crotchless panties that are edible.
Only if you wear the V-string.
You know
what? What really? Okay, tell me what you think about this, ladies.
Okay.
So, I'm a drag queen, right?
We heard that somewhere.
24/7. So every other day of the year, I'm a drag queen. So do I got to be a drag queen on Halloween? I mean, that ain't very special.
No, you should go as a man.
I know, but some people just don't seem to really want that.
Don't be lazy.
Damn.
Just do it.
I know.
Well, you could be like,
why
you
is
could
it
be
that,
like,
I love being in drag, but I just the thought of, Madge, you feel
listen,
this way.
Listen, honeys. You already look scary. Just look scarier.
Yeah, make yourself a zombie Wanda. A zombie
you
Wanda.
You need some fangs and some big ol' ass eyebrows pointing all evil. And you need a knife. A real one. A big one.
I was thinking of maybe being a witch.
That'd be good.
You know, like...
Finally, let the outer visage match the inner person.
I want to be angry. Yes, I want to be the true anger that that rumbles just barely below the surface.
You need to be real ugly if you're going to be a witch. My mother did this trick when she was a witch for Halloween. Take a piece of honeycomb cereal, you know, break it up, and you glue it onto your nose with some of this theatrical glue. And then you paint your face over it with the green, and it just makes the creepiest looking warts.
Ooh.
So you have to put the clay on your nose to give yourself that hook nose and be all evil.
Well, I got some nose putty that I use normally to cover my eyes. Or not my eyes, my eyebrows, excuse me. I'm a blind drag queen. I'm like a cave fish.
You cover other
people's eyeballs.
I like witches. I mean, the costume. It's a good classic drag outfit.
Yeah. I usually go to the theatrical costume company here in town and just kind of dig through their stacks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a makeup expert.
Do you be?
I do be.
What?
I've been doing makeup since I was a little kid.
For who? Yourself?
Yeah.
Or professionally?
For me. But I also did before, well, not before anything. I also did stage shows. I do makeup for stage shows occasionally.
In how many weeks is your cruise?
Again? Oh, God, it's 42 more days.
And the cruise is 2 weeks?
2 weeks long, and it's going to go over. It's going to be over so fast, but I can't think about it. It's
42.
Gonna be over. Huh?
So let's celebrate in 56 days. Vera's cruise will be over, and she will be depressed as hell.
I'll be down like you cannot believe.
56 days.
Wow.
You need to make everybody as miserable as you are, don't you?
That's not even remotely possible.
You have to tear everybody down and put them in that cesspool of sorrow that you swim in every day.
You know, she is really, truly the happiest person I've ever met. So this is all just a horrible facade. You realize that, don't you? I'm really bitter, and she's really happy. It's kind of the paradox.
Hap-aids.
Wow, that's fascinating.
And you're really... Yeah.
Go ahead.
Political.
I don't know. Yeah, you're actually, you run your own pack.
Uh-huh. It's opposite day. Hooray.
Anything in the news perk your ladies' interests?
I was afraid you were going to ask me that because I haven't done any homework.
Well, if you would have gone on Big Gay News, you could have found all manner of stories to discuss, couldn't you?
Yeah.
Just as long as it doesn't...
You can get married now. I mean, the big news is you can get married and connect to iCut.
Well, speaking of getting married, you cannot believe the ads that these evangelicals and their asshole friends are putting out for the no on 8 vote out here. They are unbelievable. They've got this guy from professor from Pepperdine University, which is a Christian college out here. Mm-hmm. And he's talking about the fact that gay marriage will be taught in schools and churches will lose their funding and churches will have no choice but to marry gay people. On and on and on with these terrifying ads to
what does that have to do with the price of tea in my vagina?
The subject or their method?
I don't know.
You can ignore that
random statement.
Well, you know, if we were ignore every one of your random statements, Madge, you'll have said two things. Hello and goodbye.
And vagina, too.
And vagina, yes.
I kind of like that line, all the tea in my vagina.
Pussy.
I like that. I'm going to use that in my one-woman act.
Pussy.
I swear to God she's been drinking.
Well, not only has she been drinking, but if you have not listened to her last couple of shows, all she does is she's just saying random words. There's no show. It's like vagina, vagina, pussy, pussy.
Well, you know, you were asking her, what do you do when you have nothing to say?
What?
That's what you do. You're asking a few shows ago, what do you do when you have nothing to say? Vagina.
That's what exactly, and you just did that for like a half an hour. I'm sitting stunned listening to it because you're saying nothing. Vagina, vagina.
And
I'm glad that
I
spent time on my program yesterday talking about the pioneer, Madge Weinstein.
Yes, the pioneer. The pioneer who's completely run dry and now just drools in front of the microphone and says vagina.
She
vagina.
Did that before, though. I mean. Got to give her credit.
Yeah, that's why I'm going to start charging for it. I'm going pay only, I think.
Yeah, I heard that.
You're
going to
be
show.
Like HBO.
I laughed to myself.
Like HBO.
Huh?
Like HBO. Uh huh.
Uh huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
HBO.
Do you now, honestly? And I honestly, this is a sincere question and not meant to be snarky. But do you really believe that people are going to pay for a podcast?
Well, people do pay for what's
Distorted
his name?
View.
Yeah.
Huh? People pay for what?
He runs kind of like a premium service. Like anybody can get the podcast, but then he, like, if you pay, I think you get preferred content.
Yeah, seriously. Let's talk about this because I was thinking like, okay, I have this dumb iPod Touch, right? And with the iPod Touch, you know, you can download music. Everybody knows that. And you can also download applications. Most of them are retarded, like really dumb things. And, you know, some of them are free, but a lot of them cost like $1, $2. And they're crap. But people pay for them by the millions.
Yeah.
You know, and the fact of the matter is, Vera, honestly, I don't know if people will be willing to pay for my show. I really don't. But I know that it's worth it.
So basically you're willing to, because this is what I sense also by listening to your show and listening to you talk. I really feel a burnout here. I don't think that you have the drive and the enthusiasm and all those things that kept you going and kept you going strong. I don't sense them from you anymore. And I'm wondering if this isn't, because the only downside of saying that all of a sudden making your site a pay site only, the only downside is you could lose you could lose the podcast that, you know, you got
who cares?
Three people. Right. That's my point. I think you're at the point right now where you don't care.
It's not that. I mean, you're not terribly far from the truth.
Well, enlighten me, darling.
The point is, the thing is when I don't get paid for it anymore. And when I lost motivation, it's because I lost money. And for me, I've explained this a lot. Like, I don't believe artists should work for free. I don't work for free. So when I stopped getting paid, I became a hobbyist. And like to sit here and do it when I'm not getting paid, it completely changed my motivation. Now, if I'm getting paid and if I'm earning a living from podcasting, then I have motivation, you know?
I understand.
But I don't. So I haven't decided on this for sure, but I think the way it's going to go, it's like I'm going to require a certain amount of money a month or a year. I don't know what that is. And I'm also, but see, it's also going to require a certain critical mass of audience size. And if I don't get the audience size, then I won't take people's money and the show won't go. And that'll be
that. So
what
are you going to say? Like, you got to have a certain amount of people sign up first, and then if you reach a threshold, then you'll
There'll be some sort of grace period. You know, like, we'll do it over a month, and people can sign up. And then if by the end of the month I don't have whatever number I need, which would be some sort of number that is a bare minimum for me to run my life, then I just won't do it. Because the thing is now, and what you don't see, Vera, is the fact that I'm working on a lot of other things in order to make money for the future. A lot of possibilities. And none of them are at the point where they're actually earning money now because they're all sort of things that I haven't done before. So I'm working on a lot of things to make money, although there are a couple of projects like the Untitled Show where I actually am making some money, albeit very little. So for me to take – so all of my time is really valuable right now. So for me to do a show that doesn't really do anything but act as an avocation, and, you know, and part of it is just the fact I don't need that anymore. You know, I don't need this show. And that's why a lot of artists work for free, because people bank on the fact that they know that the artists have to create. So they get taken advantage of. And
sure. That's why nobody gets paid in theater.
Right, exactly. And I just for myself, I stand firmly against that. I've worked for free long enough. So,
well, I sincerely hope that your endeavors to get paid succeed. That would be a wonderful thing. And also, like I said, I think that you just stated that the creative outlet that Yeast Radio was is no longer that way for you. It's not the same feeling anymore. So it's inevitable that things are going to change.
Right.
Now, I have a question. Wanda, do you feel the same kind of excitement and energy and enthusiasm about your show? Because you've been going for 4 years also, have you not?
Yeah, but she's still getting paid for it.
Yeah, I mean, it's my, you know, like, I have a, I mean, it's a double-edged sword. Like, you know, I don't know how long I would have continued to operate. You know, I mean, it's kind of a difficult question. Like, I can assume that I probably wouldn't be doing the same number of shows if I weren't getting paid and, you know, there was an expectation that I would continue to do this on a regular basis. I really just don't know if I was having to work another full-time job. I mean, that was really why I, that was one of the reasons why I quit my full-time job in the first place and tried to make a go of this, because I just couldn't do both. So I imagine that I, the show, if I were not getting paid for it, would look very different than it does today. That said, you know,
Now, for, will you, for, once again, I am not trying to be snarky here at all, and it's coming from a place of total ignorance. How is your employer, and if it's none of my business, I also will accept that, how does your employer benefit from your podcast? Because when I listen, I don't hear you talking about your employer. I hear you talking about you, which is why we tune in, because it's interesting.
Mm-hmm. How do, well, and that's mainly... That's the reason. I mean, there's, it's twofold. Like, that, you know, they just hired a salesperson whose job it is finally to sell sponsorships on the podcast. Because frankly, the situation up until that point was there was a disconnect between, how can I put this? The sales team didn't really understand how to sell sponsorships on the podcast in a way that we were both comfortable with. Like, I wasn't comfortable in just saying, slap some random ad on my podcast. But in terms of the value delivered over the last 2 years without necessarily a corporate sponsor for the long haul, they've continued to get, you know, web traffic. They continue to get my expertise when it comes to their website, because I also work on Lavender's website, in addition to the news, which we do have a corporate sponsor for. So, you know, I do many things here that sort of, you know.
So the show is only part of your employment there.
Mm-hmm.
I gotcha. Yeah.
And I think there's always been an understanding that long term there's going to have to be corporate sponsorships on the podcast in order for, you know, this to continue. I mean, they would always, I think, let me continue to do my program. But if this is really what I want to do, if this is where I want my main focus to be, then I have to make it economically viable, because otherwise I'm just going to be drawn into doing other things which don't give me as much time or as much resources to focus on my podcast. I'm rambling.
Mm-mm, no.
No, you're clarifying. Yeah. I, you know, I, because my work is so odd, you know, I'll work whenever in other words, there's no regularity to my work. So work has kind of never gotten in the way of my podcasting. And also my podcasting is probably very much like the two of yours was in the beginning. Because I still am, you know, I'm only going on my second year now. I've been doing this for a year and a half. So there's still an awful lot of, it's a creative outlet for me, because I don't have a lot of creative outlets in life. And so this has become for me a focus of creativity and a focus and a place to put a lot of the stuff that was getting stifled and shut down. So it's kind of, I have kind of a different take on podcasting, I think. I never would look at it as a place of revenue, because I have another place of revenue. So I think mm-hmm. that, I think that my mindset's very different. So I'm always interested to hear, you know, the motivations and the reasons why people podcast to begin with. But I think,
you know, it's really simple, and I can't emphasize this enough. But it's like when I look at those iTunes things, and I think, okay, people are willing to pay a dollar for, let's say, I don't know if this is true, something to the effect of, you know, like a virtual duck. Pet duck on your iPhone.
Right.
If people are willing to do that, then I kind of feel insulted that people aren't willing to pay me for what I do every day and what I've done for 4 years. In addition to that, you know, I have a lot of people that have been really sort of nasty about, you know, part of this is my own fault, about the people that were paying me, you know, as if it was sort of like that they should be doing more and, you know, for me and paying me more or whatever, making it last longer, when, you know, 99% of my audience pays absolutely nothing and they don't even have to listen to a single advertisement.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's free. It's like, am I a court jester? I mean,
well, basically
I think
you are.
I think it's a show of respect to say, look, you know, in, you know, in this framework of a society that's.
But you see, once again, Matt, you're expecting far too much from the populace. The mentality of humanity, the mentality is, let's get the funny duck on our iPhone. That's the mentality. Right. They watch Entertainment Tonight. They don't watch the debates. That's the mentality of our country and of people. So
no, but I think, I mean,
yeah,
that
but they
may
do
be
pay to go see comedy shows. They pay to watch a lot of shows.
Yeah, and there's an audience. I think the point is that there's an audience, and if from my perspective, I have no, and I know Madge feels the same way. There is nothing wrong fundamentally with advertising being placed or monetizing the content of the show, insofar as it's done in a way that respects the audience. And I think the audience would pay if you set up a situation, because I know I would, if it's content that I want to hear, then I would be willing to pay for it. You just have to, the market has to determine what that value is, because I know if I told my listeners every Tuesday I'm going to, you know, I don't know.
Play with your pussy.
Play with my pussy, pay $5. There's a certain amount of my audience that, that would be willing to pay for that. So it's really just a matter of determining how you want to monetize it see if it works.
I've also noticed, Vera, that people don't give you money unless you ask. And you'd be surprised at how many people do when you ask.
Oh, my God, I wouldn't be here. I mean, my computer was... You know, the tools that I used to create the podcast were furnished by listeners, the ones that could. And then there were, you got to be careful that, again, you're respecting people's intelligence and you're just not coming on every 5 seconds and saying, give me money, give me money, give me money.
Yeah.
But if you're offering them something and they're having a relationship with it, I just know I would pay. I mean, like you said, people will pay a dollar for some dumb piece of shit. What really chaps my hide is the, you know, the things on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
People are just handing over money for
to send an icon to somebody.
That's the kind of thing I'm
clip
talking
art.
About. That's
when
exactly
you could be
I'm
sending
about.
That, like they could take that dollar. You know, they create this false sort of market, which I guess is within their rights, and it's smart, I guess, on some level. Mm-hmm. But it's like, think of all that money that's being wasted for nothing.
People will
could
pay
be directed-
for stupid shit. But if they do, if the stupid, but they will also not pay for stupid shit if it's free. So if I give, if those people could buy that pet dog that they can gift you for a dollar, they'll pay the dollar. But you know what? If they don't have to pay the dollar, they'll still do it and send it for free.
Yeah.
That's the way I view my podcast. You know, they may or may not pay for it, but right now they're getting it for free. And if they have to pay for it and there's no option, they'll either pay for it or they won't listen to it. And if there's not enough people willing to listen to it that'll pay for it, then it's just simply not worth my doing.
I wonder if it's just because I'm old or just from kind of like a different mindset. Mm-hmm. Once again, this is going to sound like smoke blowing, but I want to preface it with it.
With the disclaimers.
You'll understand the point. You're my favorite in the world, on the podcasting world. Madge Weinstein to me is the creme de la creme. Everyone else has stuff to offer, but I truly, before I even knew Madge personally, I adored her show and adored her persona and adored what she did. But if you went pay, I wouldn't pay for it. That's why I prefaced it with all that, with all the accolades.
But as an artist yourself, like, what is it about paying? It's certainly not that you're not financially able to. And second of all, what you're saying is, I love your content, but I don't respect you enough to give you enough money to live off that. I mean, I know that's perhaps not what you mean, because I don't think that that's the kind of person that you are. But essentially, by saying that, I mean, you're really just saying that I really respect you. You're the cream of the crop, but it's not worth my $5 a month.
It's just that I don't feel like this is a venue where one should pay for content. Now, I know that that's not a very popular. That's not a very popular. Well, because
well,
I.
Well, why?
Huh?
Why?
Why did you say?
Yeah.
Because the concept of this was that we could sit down and basically do ourselves and with an audience what normally we'd have to go through the professional channels to do and have to bow down to all of their crap and to deal with all of the producers and the directors and the corporate sponsors and all that shit. And we all, especially you, the pioneers, broke away from that and said, no, I'm going to do this. I'm going to make my own show, my own content, my own. I'm not going to have to listen to anybody's crap, and make it available to everybody to listen to, so that they don't have to buy DirecTV. They don't have to do. They just have to have an internet connection, and there is my show. Mm-hmm. So to me, that's what, you know, and I, my mind could change very easily, but to me, that's what I feel like the podcasting world is it's a place of freedom for everybody, the performer, the listener, everybody. When it goes to a monetary situation, then the monetary restrictions are placed on it. And yes,
it is in a monetary system. If I stop getting paid for my podcast, then I do have to suck cock in order to do it. It's not directly related to it, but it means, okay, so I have to work for some douchebag in a cubicle, let's say, or I have to sweep, or I have to make coffee. And that is selling out. And that is related. And, you know, yeah, to the listener, it's not, you know, the listener doesn't have to pay either way, but I do.
Well, and I understand that. And that's, you know, there's certain to me, and I'm not, believe me, this is not such a strong position that I'm defending it to the death. I'm just kind of
none of yours are.
What's that?
I said none of yours are.
Okay, okay, thank you. I'm just kind of, this is kind of what's going through my head is that this, when the podcasting itself is, it was a creative situation. It's like sitting down in your room and painting something beautiful and then having an opportunity to show it to people. That's what podcasting was like. Okay, I painted a pretty picture. You want to see it? And what's happened is that you're saying, and rightly so, I'm not saying you shouldn't. You need to follow whatever path you need to follow. But what you're saying is now is that this is the picture that I've painted. But in order for you to see it, I want you to give me some money for it. Or in order for you to own it, I want you to give me some money for it because my talent is worth a monetary exchange.
I wouldn't say own it, but to access it, yeah, it's semantics. But
I can see that point. I can see you saying that what I'm doing, maybe, you know, it's entirely possible that I'm not valuing this venue enough, that I'm not placing, because I'm kind of cavalier about the whole podcasting thing. And maybe it's because also that I'm in the traditionally professional aspect of it. I mean, I work on the professional side of this as well as the amateur.
Yeah, I mean, creative people, frankly, you know, are members of unions for a reason, you know, because they tend to get exploited. And so for me, podcasting is just a medium. It's a medium by which an artist or an individual can have their voice expressed or their creative works distributed. But how that work
well, it was a medium. It was a medium of rebellion, though. It was a medium of rebellion.
Just like all media, though, if you go back and look at the history of radio, for example, and the history of television, that media or the medium evolves and it matures. And we're at a point now where if, you know, again, there were a lot of people doing very random different things that maybe they're not doing at this point in the history of podcasting. But the point that I wanted to make, so that was not my point, but the point that I briefly want to make is just that there are so many different formulas or ways to monetize content or to allow the content to be distributed. So there are some people whose shows, and we've done a lot of research here at Lavender to see what people are doing. And there are a lot of people who are doing sort of the public radio model where they say, donate, you know, and that's how we'll finance ourselves. There are certain people that will have specific advertisers, like, you know, a Yellow Pages almost kind of thing. And then there are people who do the whole sort of corporate sponsor kind of thing. And with each of those models comes certain limits and restrictions. And that to me shows the evolution of this medium, that now we're having discussions that are similar to what's going on in the broader media.
You know, Vera, I want to take my panties down and just tell you how it is.
Okay.
And I know it smells. But the thing is, first of all, you are absolutely as entitled to not pay as I am to charge for my content. That is completely within your rights as a listener, of course. And honestly, I don't think I would begrudge anyone for doing it any more than I think people should begrudge me for charging. But on the other hand, I just want to tell you, the thing is, like, it's been a disappointment. And I'm not talking about the audience. I'm talking about podcasting. What's happened to it has been a disappointment. And I can't blame me. I can't blame one person. I can only blame the way it happened. I can only just say that's how it is. The audience size sucks. It was great when it started, but as soon as iTunes came in, it became very commercial, and all the big motherfuckers came in, and they just said, fuck you, we're taking over.
Right.
You know, so, and then, and the tech shows. So the exception to that is like the tech shows and the titty shows, which is why I did shows to make fun of those things for a while. And the way it is, you know, it's the same old dumbass audience. See, I was banking on the fact when I started doing this, I was banking on the fact that people did want alternative content. And that's why podcasting was created. That's why Podshow started. That's how we got investor capital. But I thought it's not about the means of getting, it's not about the means of distribution. It's about the content. I was wrong. It is about the means of distribution because people are downloading the same stuff they get on mainstream media, but they're downloading it through MP3 so that they can get it on their iPod. It's more convenient.
Right.
And see, I was banking on the fact that people want different content. They don't. A few people do. They don't. And the economics are such that there's not enough audience to guarantee to get me in any sort of semblance of the way that this advertising and marketing world works. There just isn't a big enough audience to get me a living with my audience size. The only way that I can get it is this way that I describe.
Uh-huh.
I can't think of another way unless it involves getting a grant.
Right.
The only way, it is the only way I can get what I need in order to have this podcast worth doing for me, which means I need to be able to continue to earn a living. I've been earning a living on it for over 3 years, and it doesn't make sense, and I don't want to do it anymore. When I was, it's like if you worked for a bank and all of a sudden they said, well, and let's say it's a bad example, but let's say you love this job as the bank. You were the greeter and you love greeting people because you're retarded and you get to see Sharday every day and Oprah. I don't know. This is a bad, you know, you get to see the most famous people in the world. You love your job so much. And they come in and they say, well, we know you love your job, Madge, but we can't afford to pay you anymore, but just keep doing it anyway.
Right.
Well, I don't know about you, but I would say no, thanks. And that's kind of where I'm at.
I would too. I definitely would too, and I'm absolutely with you, and that's kind of what I was saying earlier about my take on podcasting as opposed to yours. You know, it's just you both of you have really geared your lives around your podcast being much more vital and important in your life, much into the point where it's wrapped intimately entwined in your financial security.
Right.
So I completely understand why you would want to go the direction that you are going. My take on a podcast is totally different, and the podcasts also that I enjoy are usually very intimate ones. They're people that talk about their lives, their something that I don't see that the mainstream or any even podcast listeners paying for. I can't imagine in a million years anybody giving 5 cents for my show. You both agree heartily about that, I know, but I can't imagine that. So I can't, I would never,
no,
I would
again,
never.
I'd like I know, and maybe I don't have a disagreement with you, but when I hear you say something like that, that really, again, it's saying that there's something wrong with valuing monetarily the quality of work that you do. You know, like, it's a struggle I think that all, you know, creative people have. Like, there's nothing wrong with thinking that the show that I do is financially or should be remunerative, that I should be able to be successful financially off of my creative work. It's a matter of establishing the market or finding what audience, you know, the people that actually enjoy what it is that I do, and coming up with some reasonable formula to make it such that I can continue to do it. Again, like, I don't know, if they don't, then, you know, I'm going to have to look for a job elsewhere. And like Madge, when confronted with that circumstance, I'm certainly not going to give away for free to the same degree or in the same way that I did being paid for it, because then what I'm saying is that my work is not financially, you know what I mean? Like, why would somebody hire me to do it when I'm already doing it for free? Why would they pay me?
I understand. And I also, it isn't that I don't value what I do on the podcast, because I think I put out a funny, intelligent, sometimes enjoyable to me all the time podcast every day, or every, you know, every third, whatever, three times a week. So I don't devalue it. I just don't, look at it as a place of monetary. I don't attach a monetary value to it. I wouldn't even know how to place a monetary value on it. And I don't know that I would want to place a monetary value on it. But I also work in the world where I get paid for my talent. And I am very demanding and very expecting of respect and payment and everything that that both of you are talking about in that world. So I think what I'm doing personally is I'm separating these two.
You don't need to. I mean, you don't need to have.
Well, you're
make
getting
the same...
paid for your artistic talents.
What's
already.
That?
You're getting paid for your artistic talents already. And while doing voice acting, and the other things you do are completely different in terms of why you do it than your podcast. You're in both cases. You are being paid. No, I'm sorry. You are expressing your artistic talents.
Yes.
But, and you're so. The bottom line is you're getting paid right now for your artistic talents. Now, if I had a job where I was on the let's say I was on the radio, or maybe I had a good job as a creative person in some other aspect, then I might very well continue doing the podcast for free, happily. So, you know, I guess maybe it's also an issue of being paid for as an artist, as opposed to being paid for this specific action.
Yeah, I think we're both, the three of us, the two of you are very much in similar positions in your life, and I'm very much away from that. And I think that definitely colors, it colors everything. It colors our opinions about everything. But I think
I think really we're all doing a lot of the same stuff. It's just that where we make the things that I'm doing creatively to make money happen to be on the podcast. You don't need to make money doing your podcast. So it's a whole set of different questions. For the two of us, we started not doing it making money, and then we felt like we did something valuable enough and were able to convince
stupid people
to give us, no, of course not, very forward-thinking people to to, you know, allow us the opportunity to continue doing it, because it is valuable. And so it's not that we necessarily disagree, it's just that we've come about and arrived at this medium in a different way. But I don't feel, and I don't want anybody to get the impression that you know, a podcaster, the creative work I do shouldn't be any less valuable if there's a market for it than the work that you do as a voiceover actor. And I know you don't think that, but that's
as. I don't. That's not true that I don't think that. I think that anyone's creative output, regardless of the medium, is very valuable. But it's I'm not the one that's paying the bills. I'm not the one that's writing the check to pay for it. I think that your creative output is valuable. I think that my creative output is valuable, but I think it's valuable in the sense that I am entertaining. That's what I'm doing. I'm entertaining people. And I'm also, you know, podcasting is not something that you do altruistically by any stretch of the imagination. It's so fucking ego-driven, it's ridiculous. At least, maybe I should only speak for myself, but I kind of think we share that.
I can't speak for everyone, but for myself.
Sure, yes.
Because it's a pain in the ass sometimes when I sit down in front of this microphone and I go, what the fuck am I going to do? I don't want to do this today. I want to do something else, but I do it. There's that ego feed, and that's the main reason that I sit down, I think, and do the goddamn podcast, is to feed my ego, is to get people writing me emails, is to get people listening to me and saying, you were great, that was great. Because at the bottom line of entertaining, yes, I want to make a living out of it, but more than anything else, I want to hear the applause. That's one of the reasons that I love to perform, is I love the adulation, not of who I am, not of I almost said my real name. Not a Vera Charles. Don't look at Vera Charles, but look at what I did. Look at the picture I painted with my acting, with my whatever, and give me the adulation for that. So that is what drives me. And because, like you said, and I agree with you completely, because I am monetarily taken care of somewhere else, somewhat mm-hmm. taken care of somewhere else, and also it happens to be a creative outlet that allows me to be monetarily taken care of, I don't have that onus on my podcast. So I'm not coming from the same place that you two are. You do have that onus on your podcast. That is your creative outlet, and you want to monetarily entwine that creativity. You want to be rewarded monetarily, understandably so, for that creativity. So I completely understand. And when go ahead.
No, I was going to say the other thing to point out too is that these aren't our only creative outlets. I know Madge in particular and myself. I wouldn't want to give the impression that, like, you know.
Oh, no, I shoot. I give myself enemas with spray paint. And I shit all over canvases.
As do I. And, you know, so
I thought I was the only one that did that.
This is the one. This is the form of expression, and Madge can. I think you have a similar take on this. Like, this was not necessarily what I envisioned making a living doing. Okay, but this was the one that presented itself as the possibility, and so there are other things that I want to be doing. But this was the medium. This was the opportunity, the time and the place, the right time and the right place, in order for me to be financially.
Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you what I want. And none of this conversation is bothering me. So I'm not offended by what anybody is saying or implying. But, you know, I'd really like a job where I'm just being paid like a radio announcer. I mean, not like an announcer per se, but to talk on the radio, talk radio. That's what I like doing. That's like my creative home base. So it's not that I'm burnt out on podcasting. You know what I mean? That core activity that's involved in podcasting, which is talking on the radio to an audience, is something I still love doing. Mm-hmm. But I'm just not willing to do it for free. That's all. Especially when it's such a tiny audience.
With that, we wrap up this very, very meta, but hopefully entertaining.
I would like to mention one thing outside of this.
I was going to give you both an opportunity,
Go ahead.
Absolutely. Let's first start with our farewells and final statements from my lovely co-host, Cesses. And we begin first. I see your hand waving and whatever else that is under your skirt.
You're terrible.
Madge, would you like to say your closing remarks and goodbyes? Please, Madge Weinstein.
Well, I'm very sad for the state of this country because Troy Anthony Davis, who I've been talking about for a long time, at least a year, who is this person on death row in Georgia. 9 out of 11 of his witnesses have recanted their testimony. 2 of those said it's because police forced them to lie in Savannah, Georgia for this murder. No murder weapon, no direct evidence whatsoever, only hearsay from people that several of them recanted their testimony. A case that screams of injustice. Well, this guy was sentenced to death and he's come very close to death a couple times in whatever they use, the lethal injection. The last time he was scheduled to die about a month ago, he got from the Supreme Court saying, well, we're going to decide if we're going to hear your case, and then we'll see. Well, the Supreme Court decided not to hear his case, so he's back on the list to die very soon. And I think this is such a huge injustice that it just makes me, you know, it's just so sad for our collective souls. Anyway, if you want to help this situation, please go to this website, gfadp.org. That's Georgians for Alternatives to the Death Penalty.org to get more information and find out who you can call. I just think this is so disgusting and it just makes me sick. gfadp.org. That's all.
Thank you. And Wanda, any final statements and a goodbye?
Well, thank you for listening. Actually, I will just remind everybody to please get out there and register to vote if you haven't already. It's not too late for many of you. And all you have to do is go online to voteforchange.com and you can sign up right there and bing, bang, boom, you'll be done. Other than that, I just encourage you to have a wonderful day and thanks for being with us. I'm Wanda Wisdom. Toodles.
That was the wonderful Wanda Wisdom from WandaWisdom.com and, of course, the Madge Weinstein from YeastRadio.com. I am your Auntie Vera Charles. You can find me at VeraSpeaks.com. Thank you, lovies, all of you, for listening to another exciting edition of Eat This Hot Show. Bye, ladies.
Bye.
Kiss my fat white ass.